he got up and he said, why are you guys waking me for this? You know what he was saying? This storm may seem gnarly to you, but it's nothing. What worries you doesn't faze me sometimes. And what might seem on my scale from 1 to 10 of something really, really major, the Lord says, Wayne, that doesn't even register on my graph. No, he wasn't a tired Savior. He was a secure Savior.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Have you ever been going through a real tough time in life and you found it difficult to sleep? Well, one day, Jesus and his disciples were out at sea when a great storm arose. So bad, in fact, that the disciples were fearful of their lives. But when they looked around for Jesus, well, they found him in the back of the boat taking a snooze. In a moment, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Our Secure Savior. But first, let's take 2 or 3 minutes to prepare our hearts for the message with some praise and worship. Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message, Our Secure Savior.
Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about some of the things that we're hoping for? And one of the things I hope for is that by the end of today, that we will have learned something that maybe will improve us as we leave this place. Now, what we're about to talk about is a habit that many of us have accumulated along the way, and it's so tough to break once you accumulate or you develop this habit. And let me ask you, with a raise of hands, how many of you tend to worry too much? Raise your hand. Yeah, look around. You're in the right place, folks. Because we want to talk about that. And if I can just drop that 50%, I will be a happy person. Because we just worry way too much. In fact, the scripture says, how many of you, by worrying, can add another year to your life? How many of you could, by worrying, add a little bit of height to your stature? If that were the case, I'd worry a lot. But I can't. We have a tendency to worry. In fact, listen carefully. If If the devil can't get you to deny your faith, here's what he'll do. He'll get you to be unfruitful as a Christian. So, if we take a look at Mark 4, Matthew 13, you'll remember a parable of the sower and the seed. Do you remember that? The sower sows the word or the seed, or people receive what God is saying. But there are four different distinct kinds of receptivities or soils that our ears are going to either receive or reject. And one of them is when the seed is sown among thorns. Now, here's the definition of that or the interpretation. The Lord says, these are those who receive God's word, or Christians receiving his teaching or his instruction. And then it says, but the worries of this world, among a few others, come in and choke the word so that you become unfruitful. Worries are one of the enemy's way to keep you from being fruitful in your marriage, in your future, in your life, in your ministry. And that's the thing that just destroys us from the inside out. I had a friend in Hilo that was a picture of health. He was one of those guys that, you know, ate like pine nuts and tofu and tree bark for breakfast. You know, one of those guys. And he would monitor his health all the time, and he'd run. And he was just so healthy, except he had one malady, one disease, is he worried about everything. Anything that was a bit out of his control, he'd worry. He'd worry and worry himself sick to the point where it distracted him from his trust in God, though a Christian, distracted him from trusting God about his family, his future, and his finances. Always fretting, always anxious, always concerned. And I noticed his life, though a Christian, was very unfruitful. He could have done so much more. In fact, he worried so much, I watched him go through a second divorce because of the stress and the toll it took on his marriage. Some years later, he passed away. He looked way older than he should have been, though he exercised all the time and ate really well. The anxieties of his life destroyed him from the inside out. And when that happened, I thought, you know, this guy eats so well. But you know what your health is determined by mostly? Not by what you eat, but by what eats you. I want to talk about anxiety and worries that come after us, so much so that I really believe that there's a bunch of stuff I worry about that God doesn't even worry about. We worry about everything. We worry about things we don't know about. We worry about things that'll never happen. And we worry so much about what other people think when in reality, they don't give a rip. Isn't that right? But we think, well, what are they going to think? I got to tell you this story. This is a great one. Now, I can tell nun jokes because I was raised Catholic, all right? So no letters and stuff. And I'm not endorsing what they're about to do. It's just a great story about how we worry too much, too much. Well, these two nuns dressed in their black and white habit go into the grocery store. And one of them it's her birthday, 65 years old. And she says to the other sister, she says, you know what I want for my birthday? The second one says, what? She said, I want to have a bottle of beer. She says, what? Bottle of beer. Wait a minute. We can't be buying beer here. She's like, I know. That's what's worrying me. And then, by the way, what should worry you more is what people are going to think. I know that worries me too. And so what are we going to do? I don't know, but I want a six-pack of beer. And the other nun says, sister, come on. She says, I'm 65 years old. Come on, it's my birthday. She said, no, we can't. People are going to look at us. I know. What are we going to do? She said, I'll tell you what. I'll just take it, and I'll figure out something by the time we get to the cashier. Okay. And they're walking towards the cashier like criminals, you know. And so this nun puts the six-pack of beer on the cashier's counter, and she says, it's for washing our hair. And the cashier, without blinking an eye, she reaches under the counter, gets a bag of pretzels, and she says, don't forget, these are curlers. It's like people don't care, and we are so anxious about so many things. Well, Jesus, in the scriptures in Mark, is going to give the disciples a lesson about worrying, and maybe some things he will speak to us about in our own personal lives. At the top of our notes, we see a portion of scripture out of Mark chapter 4, and it's in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when a tempest, a fierce gale arises. And it's not a lesson about the storm. It'll be a lesson about their faith. Would you read it with me? Let's read it out loud. Go. When evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." There arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Now Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Would you circle "no faith"? Because he's going to be talking about not storms that we're going to go through. Those are inevitable, folks. He's going to talk to us about the definition we have of faith. Because sometimes we think that faith is some abracadabra word, some magical potion, some elixir that we just speak and everything is gone. Oh, it might happen sometimes. God brings great miracles. But I want to speak of an enduring faith and the need and the importance of us defining it correctly. Now, at first response, I looked at this and I thought, you know what? Jesus must have been super tired because in the midst of a storm, he was what? Asleep. I thought, man, and it's at the stern of the boat. So he's bouncing away and he's asleep on the cushion. I thought, man, he must have been really tired from preaching or doing, you know, God's work. But then if he really were tired and if he were upset that the disciples got him up out of a deep sleep, he would have gotten up and said, "Man, how come you guys didn't respect or at least consider how tired I was?" No, he got up and he said, "How come you guys have no faith?" He wasn't so much a tired Savior. No, I looked at that and I thought, he got up and he said, "Why are you guys waking me for this?" You know what he was saying? This storm may seem gnarly to you, but it's nothing. What worries you doesn't faze me sometimes. And what might seem on my scale from 1 to 10 of something really, really major, the Lord says, "Wayne, that doesn't even register on my graph." No, he wasn't a tired Savior. He was a secure Savior. And sometimes we have the storms that causes us to be fearful and anxious. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll become like the storms we're battling. If you allow fear or anxiety or worry to enter, you'll become like the storm. And our secure Savior is saying, "You choose, because you'll either be like me or like the storms." And what we want to find out from him would be a lesson as to how we can become more like our secure Savior. Well, you say, well, how do we increase that security? First of all, I want you to circle the three words up in the top. And it says this, when evening came, he said to them, three words, would you circle them? Let us go. Circle that. One of the ways to secure or to increase our security is to remember that Jesus says, "Let us go." Now, how many of you remember the Rambo series? How many of you seen one of the Rambo movies? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're old because that's gone obsolete. But no, I remember one. He's in this ditch and all I can remember is the whole Russian army is coming on him. They've got 20 tanks and a bunch of bazookas all aimed at him. And they actually have these helicopters with laser guns on him. And you know how the laser goes beep, 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 and it locks on you. And then they pull off the safety cap and they're ready to press this button. And my wife is watching. She said, "Oh, no, he's going to die. He's going to die." And I said, "Honey, he ain't going to die." "No, look, he's finished. He's sitting on a nuclear bomb." "Honey, he ain't going to die." "How do you know?" "He's the star." "And there's another Rambo movie coming after this." "He cannot die." So it doesn't matter if the whole universe and aliens from Mars are on top of him. He ain't gonna die. Why? He's a star. And you gotta see that there. Here's the thing in Mark chapter 4. Jesus says to his disciples, "Let what? Us go." You know, when Jesus is in the boat with you, you're gonna be fine. It don't matter if all the forces of hell are focused on you. When you're where Jesus is, you'll be fine. I guarantee that. And so the first thing to increase our security is, would you write in your notes there, number one, be sure to be where Jesus is. Be sure to be where Jesus is, which means if you're a part of a situation or you're a part of an activity that you know Jesus ain't a part of, split, get out of there. Yeah, because you know you'll be fine if it's let us go. When you're near him, you'll be fine. Jesus said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. They're fine. Now, it would have made him a little concerned if he said, you guys go alone. They would be in trouble. But you see, here's what increases our security is when you evaluate your life and your heart and your thinking and saying, is this what Jesus would be thinking? Is this how he would be sensing or perceiving life? If it isn't, I just change the way I think. Because I will be susceptible to getting blasted, to temptation, to failure and falling. So I evaluate everything. Is this how Jesus would think? Nope, then change the way you think. Is this an activity that he's a part of? Is he a part of this? Nope, get out of there, jump ship, bail. Get to where he is. Because I get to be where Jesus is, say what he's saying, do what he's doing. And Jesus said that in the book of John. He said, only what the Father speaks, so I speak. What I see the Father doing, I do. He gives us an example of that. And then he lives that out amongst his disciples. Now, does that mean, Wayne, that you're going to be, we'll be immune from storms? Mm-mm-mm. That we'll be insulated from problems? Mm-mm-mm. I thought that's what faith was for. You just speak and everything clears up and you just live peaches and cream. Mm-mm-mm. If that's our definition of faith, then Jesus had a faulty faith. Because you look at his life, it was replete with problems and storms and struggles. No, faith doesn't mean that we are going to be insulated from storms. You better mark this down, and that is the fact that you will have storms in life. That's a part of life. And the Lord didn't bring us here to insulate us from life, but to teach us that there is a way through that brings victory. And so he reminds us that the world is watching us. Not how we avoid storms, but how we go through them. And faith is not having no storms. Faith is being able to rise above them. That's what gives hope to the world, because they're watching us. Now, you mean we will have some storms? Yep. But when you do, watch this. Let's read the next scripture in Psalm 37. Let's read it. Go. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong. Why? Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Isn't that great? When you're near him, you'll be all right. Oh, doesn't mean you'll be insulated. It just means you'll be fine. Let's read the next one. Go. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Proverbs 12. And so the Lord is saying, if you're near me, I tell you, everything will work out. It doesn't mean that you won't have storms. But what it does mean is this. Listen carefully. Even the smallest boat in the biggest ocean is fine unless some of that big ocean gets inside the small boat. When that happens, the boat what? Sinks. Same with people. What's another way to increase our security? Would you write number two? Don't let an outside storm become an inside storm. Because you will go through storms. But you will be fine so long as the outside storm does not become a what? An inside storm. Where you let it cause your spirit to be defeated. It is your spirit that keeps you buoyant. And here's the word, resilience. Because you will go through the storms. Jesus did, and if it happened to him, it'll happen to us. But he'll give us the strength and the buoyancy. And here's the warning sign. If the outside storm becomes an inside storm, here's the first symptom. You'll start to give up in your spirit. You'll become discouraged and disparaged, and your spirit will flag. And when that happens, you'll start to sink. You cannot let that happen. You can't let that happen. The scripture says in Corinthians, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction produces for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things that are unseen are eternal. God says, watch your spirit, because once your spirit flags, that's a sign that an outside storm has become an inside. And that's where you need to renew your heart again to Him. Lay it all down before Him again. In fact, the scripture says it this way. Let's read the next scripture together out of Proverbs 18. Go. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Yeah, you see, when your spirit is broken, you give up. But if you can guard that, if you can guard your heart and your mind, you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine. I have a motto that I adopted early on in life, and that is this. I know we'll all go through storms, but here's the motto. The motto is this. If I survive, I will be better because of it. If it don't kill me, I'm going to be better. I don't care. You know, I look back on it now and I think, I'm so glad that became a motto. If it doesn't kill me, and if I survive, I'll be better. And obviously, you've survived because you're here today. Question is, of all the things you've gone through, are you better for it or bitter for it? Are you an increased person or decreased? That's your choice. You can't control the storms most of the time, but you can control whether or not you come through better or worse. That's your choice. Make that choice wisely. And that has everything to do with your spirit. We've seen that in history, how people in history have watched their spirit and they could have been defeated and destroyed. As was the case of this one person who, as I give you a few of the events of his life, you'll probably determine who this is quite readily. But listen to some of the things he went through. 1832, he was fired from his job. So he tried running for something else that he had a passion for, the legislature and politics. He was defeated 1832, same year. Next year, he tried his hand back at business. He went bankrupt 1833, failed in business. Then the fiancée that he was about to marry died in 1835. He tried for Congress, lost 1843. Tried for the Senate, lost 1854. Tried for the Senate again, lost 1858. But in 1860, Abraham Lincoln became the 16th president of the United States of America and is still known today as one of our best. You see, if your spirit flags, everything goes down. Now you got to watch out because there's going to be a bunch of people that are like unpleasable people that'll demand certain things of you. And if you're not careful, they'll suck you into a vortex of depression. And if you're worrying about what people think all the time, you'll be a codependent on everybody because you'll be someone wanting to please people who are unpleasable. Scripture talks about that. Let's read the next one together. Go. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now watch this. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be. Yeah. Because it's so easy to try and please unpleasable people, but you will always fail. Stories told of this pake husband that just was upset at his wife. And you got to save money. You got to save money. And everything she did, she'd buy some groceries and try to save. And he'd say, did you get the coupons out of the newspaper? Oh, no, you didn't save enough money. She'd buy something. Did you buy this? Too much money. You should have saved money. Well, it got so bad. She's trying her best to please this guy, being so anxious about life, that even though she had a car, she stopped driving the car because he wanted her to save money on gas. So she started riding the bus. He said, the bus, how much? $1. Too much money. And so one day she just tried her best. She was at home and she was just completely disheveled and tired. And the pake husband comes home and says, what's the matter? How come you're so all tired? She said, you know, just to save money, I ran after the bus all the way home. I saved $1. And the pake husband said, oh, you dumb woman. You should have ran after a taxi. You could have saved $6. There's just some unpleasable people.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Our Secure Savior by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.